Let's just pretend for a moment that he cares for souls. Pick up a copy of Father Leonard Feeney's Bread of Life book in the Founders Trading Post at MikeChurch.com and read it. By the by, I had not read this before. Now, I had read a summary of it previously, but I had not actually read the chapter in Bread of Life that deals with... Oh, is the Pollock in the chat room? No, he's not. Mr. Poe, please. Mr. Poe desires to win Golden Truth ticket. He actually did win one. I actually read the chapter that deals with baptism of desire, baptism by blood, and baptism by water. You know, if you get accused of being a Feeneyite, that means that you're some kind of radical nutbag, dirtbag that believes, well, I don't know, that baptism by water is necessary for salvation. Well, the only reason we would say that is because, I don't know, this guy named Jesus of Nazareth said it. I mean, I didn't make it up. I'm pretty sure I read it somewhere. But in that chapter, in Bread of Life, Father Feeney, what does he calls those in his flock? What does he call them? He calls them my children. My beloved children is what he calls them. He says, and now I say to you, my beloved children. This is a father that is the titular father of many souls, right? He is their spiritual guide. He is their spiritual counselor, if you will. He's their confessor. He's their priest. Till the assault upon him in the center occurred. And then these phony, trumped-up charges that people still run around and repeat today. He's excommunicated. He's a schismatic. You're a Feeneyite. Well, you know what? After reading that chapter in Bread of Life, I'm more of a Feeneyite than I've ever been. So if I was a Feeneyite before, I'm really a Feeneyite now. Well, my point being is that Father Feeney took his responsibility to get souls to heaven because, look, if you're a priest, this is what you signed up for. And if you don't take that as job number one, well, of course, loving God, number one, the first commandment, but you're loving God by assisting other souls and get to heaven, then getting to heaven. It only makes sense then, as the good shepherd, you could call them your flock, you could call them your sheep, you could call them, what are baby sheeps? Kids, right? Or you could call them my children. I've heard one priest that I know use the term and so I say to you, my beloved devout souls, not friends. Friends are not priests. Now, you may have a priest that's a friend. That's fine. But in his capacity as a priest, he's not your friend. He's there to tell you when you screwed up and to get you back on the path to eternity, to a blessed eternity. That's his job. That's what he does. He's not your... Now, he may be your buddy because he did that for you, but that's his job. You have priests running around, oh, my dear, my LGBTQ friends. Look, they can't be your LGBTQ friends. They're in a state of mortal sin and peril, Father. That's the you're not being a friend to them. At this point, you're their enemy. You're their enemy. To all my many LGBTQ friends, Catholic and otherwise, oxymoron, LGBTQ Catholics, oxymoron. Happy Pride Month. So happy month of the worst sin, the one that got, now how many, here's another Jeopardy quiz for you. Mr. Church, I thought you said you didn't have a show. I do have a show. How many times did Lucifer commit the sin of pride? How many times? Your time starts now, Roger. Best of luck. I'm not going to play the Jeopardy music. We've already abused it this segment. How many times did Lucifer commit the sin of pride? One. One. Just once is all it took. He's eternally damned. God created a special place for him and all those who followed him. It's called, perhaps you've heard of it, it's called hell. Some translations, it's Gehenna. Some, it's Hades. I think that comes from the Greek mythology. Regardless, it's acknowledged that it's a destination. You don't want to go there. Happy sin that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven month. Pride month. That's what that means.